We've talked a lot about players, John. Can we move to matches now? What matches for Gloucester really stick in your memory?
It's normally the Welsh games, you know, the midweek games at King's Own, where the atmosphere under floodlights as it came, with Pontypool in particular. We were up here with the front row, the famous front row, which was Charlie Fogler, Graham Price and Bobby Windsor. Pontypool coming up here, we had some quite tasty games, and you know, I mean, even our pack had to once or twice give way in those days, because they were a formidable front row. We used to love to go to Harlequins. In those days we played at Twickenham, you know, so that was good. Leicester always used to welcome us with a dance and a buffet, and you know, had great friends down there. Brian Hall, the centre, lovely boy, and you know, Peter Wheeler. Coventry, I think, really was always a game. I mean, I go back so long, it seems that I played against Peter Butterfield, who played for Northampton, Peter Jackson, who was the England wizard in Warwickshire. So Coventry, really, I think we had the David Duckhams and Jeff Evans and on the wing, we had Fairbrother, fullback, England fullback, Billy Gittins playing, and Webb, wasn't it? Rodney Webb, the England winger. Mm. Talented back line they had. And my real thing, we had a big write-up that the whole back line played for Gloucestershire one day, and the Gloucestershire back line were going to be decimated by the Coventry come Warwickshire back line, and I think we won 15-0 with 3-0. So I think Bob Clues scored 2 of the tries. I know he scored 1, and 2 wingers scored a try, and but that was a, I mean, to go to Coventry and play against Duckham and Webb and, you know, Peter Rossborough and those sort of people. I mean, that game we played in the John Player Cup was a culmination. I mean, it was a battle for them. It was a battle for us. And windy day, crowd was fabulous. I mean, the Gloucester supporters are the best and can be the worst in the world, because if you're meant to win and you're up against pretty mediocre opposition and you're not putting much work in, or if things are going badly against a very poor side, they let you know. But if you're ever up against them, they get behind you. You know, if you've got a team coming here that you shouldn't really beat, they will be behind you every minute of the game. And you know, great. That was why I retired, really, when I did, because of the crowd. But Coventry in Leicester and Pontypool, Cardiff at the Arms Park, we did have a game there once, and we should have took their grand record, but the referee let it go so long that they were lighting programmes in the stand and waving them, because it was virtually dark and there weren't floodlights, couldn't have been in those days, and Preedy, the Welsh fullback, was playing, and Glenn Williams, his brother, was playing scrum half, and Preedy went round the corner flag 5 minutes into whatever it was. and he didn't go inside, he went round and put the ball down. The referee awarded the try and blew up for full time, and that was that maintained Cardiff's unbeaten record that year there. We battled well against them, and but that was always a battle. Aberavon away, didn't like Ebervale in midweek, that was pretty nasty. Particularly,
I was going to ask about one particular Ebervale game in '67, because The Times said that it kicked off late, and by the end of the game it was just about completely dark, and they said all sorts of skullduggery was going on, but they couldn't quite see what was happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mike Longstaff might have played in that game at fullback, which obviously I've not seen him anywhere down here, but he came back and played open side, or in open side wing forward with Mike Teague and John Gadd. But he came originally as a fullback, and he was a flyer, but not particularly very good under the eyeball in the mud at Emma Vale. But, but I think he found his forte as open side, because he was a top class open side, Mike. And as a fullback, I didn't put him in the ratings with Peter Butler as a tremendous catcher of a ball and kicker of a ball. Again, like Eric, you know, I mean, his record speaks for itself. You don't need to, you know, but Mike did play. It was a lot going on, and the funny part about it, at the end of the game, I think we got beaten that night, did we?
No, 112-8.
Okay. I think Ron Pitt finished up in hospital with a gashed shin, which turned pretty nasty, and if it was wrong, one of the nights he did, but it was a pretty nasty game, and it was wet as well. And we went in the dressing room, and we had a lovely shower, and locked the dressing room door, and suddenly we get a knock. Boys, our showers are cold. Can we come in? And everybody just left the hot taps running until they run cold, and then opened the door for them. But I remember that one well. Yeah, that was a. There was a lot. I mean, things did go on because, you know, the referee didn't have the help of the touch judges, because normally one touch judge would be Digger and the other touch judge would be their touch judge, you know, so that you were getting 10 yards either way, whichever touch. If you kicked it to the Welsh touch, it would be 10 yards this way. If you went to Digger's touch, it would be 10 yards the other way. So it was a different era of rugby, and it was tremendously enjoyable. And sometimes when you come down the stairs and you ache, you think, well, was it worth it? But yeah, I think it was in the full run of the game.